Is something burning? No, it's just time for the WIP Evening Show Hot Stove Check-In.
Yes, it is that time of night, the Hot Stove Check-In, right here on the Evening Show. Joe Giglio with you as we check in on some news that already went down, some news that we're all, well, some of us worried about, and the spring training, which starts this week down in Clearwater. Let's go to the phone lines here. Corey Seidman, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Corey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Joe. I'll be better when this whole thing ends, though, as I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel almost conflicted on this because we had the idea to start doing a hot stove check-in every night at 9, I was like, all right, this will last for a couple weeks, then Harper and Machado will sign, and then, you know, we'll probably stop doing it. I can't believe I'm still tracking this thing. Every night at this time, we do something on it. So on that end, I appreciate the content, but on the other hand, I want it to be over. Corey, what's your thought? I saw your tweet the other day about the Giants, and I believe the way you worded it is you consider them a threat, and now as the days have gone on, it feels like they are a threat. What's your thoughts on how this thing's playing out?
When last season ended, just a few people that I talked to around the game really thought that the Giants were the favorite to get Bryce Harper because of his interest in the Bay Area, because of, you know, I guess where they were positioned, that this was a team coming off a 73-win season that badly needed some sort of excitement in its lineup. That was a common connection. It was Dodgers and Giants, everybody that I talked to about Bryce Harper, I'm talking about, you know, last September at this point. Then the offseason began. The Giants weren't heard from in any way in any free agent conversation. You know, the only free agent they've brought in this offseason was Drew Pomeranz so far. They brought back Derek Holland as well, but they've just been largely inactive because they have a bloated payroll with some bad contracts. And, you know, that's a team that, quite frankly, should be thinking about retooling, but doesn't seem to be. But I consider the Giants a threat the same way I can still consider the Yankees a threat for Manny Machado. The teams like the Padres, the teams like the White Sox, you know, I don't think that there is much of a foe for the Phillies at this point. I don't think that they can offer things that the Phillies cannot. I don't think they can offer more money. I don't think they can offer a better chance to win, a better environment. I think that the Phillies will beat out the White Sox and Padres in all of those regards. But the Giants, you know, should be a team taken seriously for Harper. And the Yankees are a team that should still be taken seriously for Machado. A lot of people think that, you know, it's just going to come down to money. But we're not inside these players' heads, you know. And when we talk about, oh, the Giants, that's a terrible team. They're projected to win 73 games. Even with Harper, they'd be at 77 or 78. Well, what if Bryce Harper has different priorities than, you know, the common baseball fan or the common baseball observer? His priority might be that he wants the best combination of money and comfort and scenery and guys he respects. So, you know, unless we have a definitive idea of what these players are seeking, I just feel like it's a fool's errand to kind of guess as to what their priorities are. With Manny Machado, you know, it seems like money will do the talking, but at the end of the day, he might not choose Philadelphia. And if that happens, it would be a doomsday scenario for a lot of Phillies fans and for this front office. But, you know, as this thing has lingered on and on and on, the two possibilities that I keep thinking are, you know, either these guys and these agents are trying to play the rest of the market against the Phillies because they know at the end of the day the Phillies are going to be able to match or exceed any offer, or the other possibility is that neither guy is really keen on playing here.
Which both are possibilities right now. Corey Seidman joining us here. Corey, what's your take on how the Phillies are playing this? You know, we don't know what's going on. You said it in their heads with these agents, these players. But I'll give you mine, and then I want your thought on my thought. Like, I have appreciated the way Matt Klentak has played this, very close to the vest and very kind of smart, just considering there's not that many suitors. They probably have the most money. Just sit back, wait, play one against the other, and at the end of the day, they probably get one of them. But as this lingers, I keep wondering if they're not playing the human element of this enough. They don't seem to want to wow either of them. They don't want to come out publicly and show us their cards. I don't know what they're doing privately, but I know the Giants are out there with Posey and with Bochy and Larry Bear all saying, man, we'd love to have Bryce Harper. I don't hear the Phillies talking that strongly. So I think we're at the point now where they're going to have to blink here, Corey, whether it is adding money to make their stance even better or maybe show one of these players like, hey, we really want you.
Well, so to answer the first part about how, you know, the Phillies haven't come out and publicly said the kinds of things that you may have seen the Giants front office say this week, my response to that would just be that the Phillies have been not talking about these guys, but kind of circling around these guys for years. We all know their level of interest. We all knew that they were going to be interested in Machado and Harper. The fact that Machado came in for a visit here and they went to Vegas to meet with Harper speaks to their level of interest. I don't think they feel the need to say, yeah, we really want this guy. We really want this guy. And then, you know, part of that might be the leverage game as well. In terms of how the Phillies have played it, you know, I just keep trying to, in my head, envision how these negotiations have played out, because quite frankly, like, nobody knows. Even people who are told some tidbits of information, you still don't know the day-to-day of how negotiations go. You know, imagine the Phillies offered Machado and or Harper like $250 million when, I'm not saying that that's what they have offered, but let's imagine for a second that the first really competitive offer from the Phillies was $250 million over, say, 8 years. So it's 30-plus million. You know, it's the highest annual average salary ever for a position player. Miguel Cabrera currently holds the record at $31 million. So that would still exceed that. If you're the Phillies and you don't think that anybody else has offered more than $250, why would you keep increasing your offer? Why would you be like, oh, you know what, here's $275. Actually, here's $290. You know, Matt Klentak in the Phillies front office is smarter than to just react to every single time a new team emerges in terms of rumblings or rumors or reports. And so because they have the most money and because they probably have indicated to both guys, you know, bring us your best offer and we'll see if we can beat it. You know, because of all those possibilities, I guess they don't think it makes sense for them to keep increasing their offer when they might not need to. And, you know, perhaps if it gets to a point where the Phillies just become really desperate, which I just don't see that happening. I mean, I still do think they're going to end up with one of these guys, but they seem to be trying to take a realistic approach to it as opposed to what a lot of fans want them to do. And a lot of fans just want them to, you know what, put $75 million more dollars on that offer. Well, no, that's not how any of this works. And the people who are saying that have never negotiated a nine-figure contract. And that money definitely adds up as years go by and you have to start extending players and players become more expensive. So, you know, I kind of think the Phillies are just taking a measured approach to this, thinking that they're still going to be able to get one of them, but not bidding against themselves.
Do you think it matters to them which one they get? You know, as this played out, I've started to think that they don't really care. Maybe they have a slight preference, but not enough to move the needle here, because the game they're playing, Corey, likely means they're going to get one, but it doesn't guarantee anything over one over the other. Do you think deep down they care which one they get?
I've always gotten the sense that they would prefer to have Manny Machado, you know, because of the two-way ability, the positional fit, the fact that corner outfielders, you can find a very good corner outfielder, not necessarily someone as talented as Bryce Harper, but you can find a corner outfielder with the ability to hit 280, 25 homers. You know, you can find that almost every year in free agency or in the trade market, whereas you really can't find that at third base. Third base is not the power position that it used to be. So, yeah, I've always gotten the sense that Machado is the preference. That being said, if Machado makes his decision first and he signs elsewhere first, then obviously the Phillies would set all of their sights on Bryce Harper. I don't think that they don't want Harper. I just have all along gotten the sense that Machado is their preference. That's not me saying that my preference is Machado. I personally think that Bryce Harper would move the needle more for this team. I think that Bryce Harper is a substantially better hitter than Machado. I think that is bared out. If you look at the last 4 years, Harper's OPS is 96 points higher than Machado's. And I do think that over the next 8 to 10 seasons, Harper will accomplish more offensively than Machado. But I do think that the Phillies prefer Manny.
Corey Seidman, NBC Sports Philadelphia, joining us here as we try to unpack the latest on Bryce Harper rumors around the Giants and all sorts of odds out there and all sorts of buzz that maybe he's going to go to San Francisco. Corey, the one thought I had today, because a lot of people have said to me, this is just Boris playing games, which a lot of it might be, where Scott Boris reels a team in and then gets the team that really wants the player to give more money. Maybe that's what this Giants thing is all about. But the story out there right now is that the Giants are willing to make a lucrative short-term offer, and we know the Phillies probably would go longer and more money. What are your thoughts on an opt-out and what the Phillies could do there? Some teams don't like to do it. Some teams are more willing. But the way I look at it is this. If the Giants are going to offer 3 and 100, let's just say, maybe the Phillies have to give 3 100 the first 3 years and the opt-out after 3 in the midst of a long-term deal. What do you think about all that?
Right. I mean, an opt-out gives the player the best of both worlds. It gives them the guarantee if they're playing, if they want it, if they're not living up to expectations, they have the additional guaranteed years at the back end, or if they do exceed expectations, like J.D. Martinez did this past season. You know, J.D. Martinez has opt-outs after years 2 and 3 of his contract. If he has another year like he did last year, he's going to opt out. He's going to make more money. We saw Clayton Kershaw use his opt-out this off-season and got a 3-year, $93 million contract out of it. Yeah, I mean, I don't think opt-outs are ever in the best interest of the team because it's all the power goes to the player. But, I mean, obviously you see these happen every year, and I think the Phillies would be open to including an opt-out for either player if that's what it would require. At the end of the day, though, I don't think Harper's going to choose San Fran because of money or annual average value. I think that if he chooses San Francisco, it's going to be because he wants to play there. He likes the city. He likes Buster Posey and Madison Bumgarner. I don't think that it would be really anything that the Phillies would be able to combat with anything more than just an extremely higher offer. And I don't know if they would go that far for Harper. I mean, especially considering, like I just said, I've gotten the sense all along that their preference is Machado. So, yeah, I mean, the opt-outs are definitely a consideration here. I would think that both players are going to end up getting opt-outs in their deals. This is just the way that baseball is negotiated these days, and especially with Scott Boras clients.
If the Phillies don't get one of these guys, how do we look at this offseason? I mean, they've clearly improved. They got the best catcher in baseball. You and I are agreement that Real Muto is that good. They improved with McCutcheon. They made the defense better. Robertson, it's a better team. But what's your reaction to this team and what they are if they don't get one of these guys?
I think if they don't get one of those guys and they don't make any big in-season trade, this is like an 84-85 win team, which is better than last year, and it'll keep the Phillies competitive into late August, early September, but it's not going to be good enough to make the playoffs. If they do get one of these guys, I think they can push upper 80s, you know, potentially crack 90. I think that it puts them on an even playing field with the Nationals if they were to get one of these guys, because the Nationals still have a lot of talent. Like, if you look at that roster, offensively they're solid, defensively they're solid, the rotation's really good, they have a great closer in Sean Doolittle, so the Nationals are still a team to worry about. I don't think fans are going to be happy with this offseason. And if it was any other year, adding the best catcher in baseball along with a good corner outfielder and a good setup man and Gene Segura starting shortstop, that would be a job well done. But not this offseason when you have two generational talents, you have a lot of money to spend, and you have a desire from the front office and the fan base to get one of these guys. I don't think that that's going to be unfair for the fan base to react that way because, you know, they've been waiting for years and it wouldn't have happened.
Last one for you here, Corey, and I agree with you. I think the reaction is going to be fierce, and people are going to be upset, even though this team is clearly better than it was last year. Outside of Harper Machado, what's the most interesting thing or player? What are you looking for as, I guess, tomorrow pitchers and catchers, they'll get there and check in Wednesday and then full squad next week. What's the most interesting non-Harper, non-Machado storyline for Corey Seidman of 2019 spring training?
I think Odubel Herrera, just because, you know, a couple years ago we were looking at this guy as a centerpiece of the team, you know, a potential centerpiece of the Phillies rebuild. He looked like a guy who could hit 290 to 310 every year. Pete McCann made the comments that he thinks he could be a future batting champion. And, you know, we've seen flashes of really, really good baseball from Odubel Herrera, both offensively and defensively. But we've also seen plenty of head-scratching moments, and last season was one that he and the Phillies would like to forget. But the thing is about Herrera, that even through all the trials and tribulations of 2018, he did set a career high in home runs. And if he can just combine the skills that he showed in his first 2 years with the power he's shown in his last 2 years, he's going to be a really good player. And I think a major reason the Phillies did not move on from Herrera this offseason is because they knew that they'd be selling painfully low, and they didn't want to do that. So I think that he is a key storyline in spring training and in the month of April to see what kind of start he gets out to, if he can practically line up every single day, assuming that there isn't a Harper signing. If he can improve upon last year, all of a sudden you have a guy that you can feel comfortable batting toward the top of your lineup instead of an automatic out when he's going south.
You're right, and now for the first time it feels like in his entire tenure here, there's actual competition in center field with Roman Quinn. So maybe that pushes him and makes him even better. Corey, always appreciate it. We'll keep following along and reading NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com at the Yard Podcast, and hopefully this is all over with one of these guys here soon, man.
I totally agree. Thanks, Joe.
There he goes. Corey Seidman, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Yes, I think Odubel is a fascinating piece to the spring training puzzle. Let's go to the phone line, take a call, and then we'll play a couple pieces of audio for you. Jeff in Mount Laurel. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Very good, thank you. I've just been tagging along, coming home from work, listening. And you have to forgive me. I have a touch of, like, memory loss. And I'm thinking, the Phillies' first baseman, when they won the World Series, paid him big money. After they paid him big money, his numbers dropped drastically.
They did.
Correct, right?
Yes, the
Hamels too.
Yeah, they did. And the one thing I would bring up, obviously, I would imagine you're comparing the contracts and what the Phillies might pay these guys, whether it be Harper or Machado. Right. But Ryan Howard was much older. Like, his prime was over before he started making his money. He was 29.
Was he 29?
Well, I believe the contract kicked in when he was 30. So it was 30, 31, 32, 33. These guys are 26, Jeff. Their prime hasn't even arrived.
I know, but at the same time, I've been hearing everybody saying they may not want to come here. I kind of believe that.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me, though.
Yeah, but if they don't want to come here, why give them all the money just to make them come here? It makes no sense.
Because it makes them a substantially better baseball team. Here's what I think.
Not if you have a cancer or somebody does not want to play for you.
Well, I think that's the line of demarcation. Like, if you think they're going to be like that, then I agree with you. And Jeff, appreciate the call. If you think they're going to be malcontents for 8 or 10 years, then you don't bring them in. But these guys are professionals. I don't know, man. Tim, I think this happens a lot more than we think, where players don't necessarily want to play in a certain place, but they sign the contract, and then they go and they just play there.
There's a difference between Bryce Harper and Manny Machado saying, you know what, I'd probably rather play in L.A. or Chicago.
Or New York,
as opposed to them saying, I don't want to play for the Philadelphia Phillies. Once they sign on that dotted line, I don't think there's going to be issues in that regard.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that we overblow that stuff. I think both these guys, if there was truth serum, probably wanted to be Yankees. Bryce Harper's always been connected to the Yankees, and Machado basically has just begged the Yankees all offseason to sign him. But doesn't mean their careers are over if they're not Yankees. Like, they're going to go on and hit a lot of home runs and win a lot of games and do all these things. So it doesn't really bother me if they don't want to be here, as long as they come here and they produce the way they always produce. All right, a couple things. We'll play a couple things here, and then we'll come back and we'll continue with this on the other side. But I wanted to play, Tim, let's play Steve Kerr. So Steve Kerr, like, the pitch that the Giants are putting on out in the Bay Area to Bryce Harper it's not only about the Giants. Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, even he was asked about the idea of Bryce Harper signing with the Giants.
What would it mean for the Bay Area to have a slugger like that?
Are you starting rumors here?
I am not.
I haven't seen that.
Baseball free agency. What do you think?
That would be fun. I'd love it if Bryce Harper came here. So does my opinion matter? Bryce, come to the Giants. Let's go.
Even Steve Kerr out there campaigning for the Giants.